The disruptive innovation model is a framework to work out how to beat the competition with something new. Mature markets often have a small number of suppliers, and these oligopolies become fat and lazy and may stop caring about their customers. Most of the care and attention is focused on large customers, and it's not unusual that smaller customers are ignored. Such environments are fertile ground for disruptors. A disruptor is a new entrant to a market who sees a gap left by these large incumbent suppliers. Usually the disruptor is small and eager to win business from anywhere. The smaller customers that are eschewed by the oligopolists are easy pickings for the disruptor. Indeed, the oligopolists do not notice or do not even care when in the first instance small crumbs are taken from underneath their table. The disruptor does things differently. They find ways of meeting the needs of the mass market, usually by producing a product or service in a more cost-effective way. The first motor cars did not disrupt the market for horse-drawn buggies. They were expensive and available only to a privileged few. Horse-drawn buggies were disrupted only when Henry Ford launched his Model T, which was highly competitive because it was mass-produced to the simplest of designs. When incumbent suppliers in a market seek growth through innovation, they tend to focus on middle to high end of the market. These are customers with money. However, with these innovations, the incumbents are in danger of producing products that are overspecified and too expensive for the low end and the mainstream market. It is into this environment that a new entrant can be disruptive. The lack of interest that the incumbent supplier has at the bottom end of the market means that the new entrant's disruption will hardly be noticed, and it will be tolerated in the first instance. The product offered by the new entrant might be of a lower performance than existing products, which may themselves be overspecified for the needs of this bottom end segment. The disruptor's products win sales because they're good enough and significantly cheaper. This allows the new entrant to gain traction and rapidly build up sales because it's addressing a significant part of the market. In a short space of time, the disruptor can move from the low end of the market into the mainstream, by which time it's too late and too difficult for the incumbent to take retaliatory action. Low-cost airlines disrupted the market not only by taking business from the legacy airlines, but also by opening up air travel to people who previously couldn't afford it. The dilemma for the incumbent is holding on to their profitable business. They are driven by the need to maintain profit margins and find easy pickings at the high end of the market rather than competing in the mainstream or the aggressive low end. Disruptive innovation can, in theory, be the brainchild of any company. However, the drive to disrupt a market is much greater by someone who is not an incumbent. It's understandable that an incumbent will fear disruption because it threatens its position in this profitable market. An entrepreneur, a small company, and a new entrant has less to lose. Their ability to invest in order to exploit their innovation may be limited, but this need not matter. They are looking for a small number of people in the first instance who will embrace the innovation. These are the innovators and early adopters in the diffusion of innovation model described by Everett Rogers. The diffusion of innovation identifies hurdles that have to be overcome early in the life cycle of the product launch. These chasms that need to be jumped between the innovators and the early adopters and the early adopters and the early majority can be sticking points for a disruptor. Let's think about some examples of disruptors. For many years, steel was produced in large integrated steelworks using the Bessemer process. These huge mills had a high energy cost associated with heating the blast furnace. The blast furnaces needed to operate continuously, and this can be a problem during periods of low steel demand because the furnace must be kept hot. At times of full production, these steelworks are highly efficient. However, demand is seldom steady as it pulses around the world. And this opened up an opportunity for a new form of steel production, the mini mill. Mini mills use scrap steel as their raw material. The electric arc furnace used in a mini mill is much more flexible and can easily be started and stopped on a regular basis. They do not need to produce the massive volumes of the integrated mill. Mini mills can be located close to a point where there is a high demand for steel. Integrated steel mills are under pressure to locate close to supplies of energy and raw materials. The mini mill disrupted the traditional market for steel production. it began producing simple products such as reinforcing bar, and since the late 1980s it produced steel strip, and this enabled companies such as Nucor in the US to quickly rise from nowhere in 1968 to be one of the world's largest steel producers. Large corporations know the threat of disruption innovation. They nearly all have research and development programs that are aimed at discovering a profitable disruption themselves. But we can imagine the difficulty that a large manufacturer of such as light bulbs would face if its research and development department invented the everlasting bulb. Would it hide the technology, or would it launch it and disrupt its own profitable business? Companies such as Google have business units aimed at launching disruptive technologies. They're big enough and rich enough to do so, and they still maintain an entrepreneurial spirit. More traditional companies find it difficult and may deal with the disruptive innovation threat by making acquisitions of small companies that offer promising innovations that could gain traction in the future. So, some things to think about. To be a successful disruptor, you need to have a low-cost solution that can attack the bottom end of the market. Disruptors offer cheaper products, and they also offer innovative products. The Dollar Shave Club is not only cheaper, it's delivered by mail. An incumbent company can best protect itself by setting up a standalone, a separate unit. Dow Corning protected itself in the silicone market by launching an online source of silicones, which it called and rebranded Xiameter. The new and disruptive creation of Xiameter was separately branded and aimed at companies wanting a low-cost, low-service offer. The traditional high-service, high-price offer was kept separate and was a cash cow financing the new and disruptive business.